going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Welcome back into our TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage. Steve Geller with Deuce McAllister, Mike D'Atelier, Mike Hollis, and the Cajun Kid and Bobby Hebert. Coverage of the Saints and NFL Draft. We have wrapped it up, folks, here at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Looking at the names in this year's 2025 New Orleans Saints Draft Pack. We have Texas offensive tackle Kelvin Banks Jr., Louisville quarterback Tyler Shook, Texas defensive tackle Vernon Broughton, safety out of Virginia Jonas Sanker, Danny Stutzman, a linebacker out of Oklahoma, corner Quincy Riley out of Louisville, UCLA tight end Maliki Mativayo, and also Syracuse edge Fidel Diggs. So there's 9 selections for the black and gold. That's the most taken by this team since 2015.
Yep, 9 different positions. And by the way, Kobe Miner, cornerback out of Memphis, was the Mr. Irrelevant, went to New England.
Okay.
I still think Memphis State, but now it's just University of Memphis, the Tigers. When I think about that, Mike, remember, why did they change that?
We grew up with Memphis State.
But yeah. Now it's like, oh, no, we just Memphis. Okay, it sounds better. I don't know, because there's no state Memphis, University of Memphis.
And I do the Tigers. And I do some shows with him, Brett Narsworth, and he's from Memphis and done that. He's good friends with Dan Barron.
Where they play Memphis, that's an old school
Liberty
stadium.
Bowl?
The old Liberty Bowl. I never forget, I remember getting the crap knocked out of him, not only in the NFL, but the USFL.
Reggie
White, Memphis Showboats. I'm with the Oakland Invaders. We played in the Liberty Bowl to go to the championship game, and we beat him in Memphis. Okay. I never forget that. And it was like...
He hit you there again?
Yes, he always hit me. Reggie White, but Reggie White was really awesome at Tennessee, University of Tennessee.
He was a better pro player.
Yes, and he was awesome in the USFL, and he didn't go to the NFL right away because they paid him at Memphis, kind of like Herschel Walker going with Donald Trump, New Jersey Generals. And then what he did, it when he put really hay in the barn with the Eagles and the Packers. So, Mike, he actually got better as he got older, more dominant.
Man, to think him and Jerome Brown, God bless him. Man, Jerome and Eric Andelsek passed away within like about 10 days of one another. But
was cut too short.
Jerome Brown was, man, he was scary good as a defensive
tackle. Jerome Brown in the history of the NFL might have been the best all-around interior defensive lineman as far as sacking the quarterback and stopping the run. You had to double team him every play. Where's the runner pass? Out of the U, and then he got killed in that car wreck.
Yeah.
Steve, because the Eagles. Eagles fans know about Jerome Brown.
No, I was a young man and didn't really comprehend at that time. Like, what do you mean this guy is like greater than, almost godlike to me?
No.
And I'm like, what do you mean he's dead?
And they had Reggie White, Clyde Simmons. You know who was the one?
Mike Golic.
Mike Golic was just an extra guy.
He'll tell you that.
Mike Golic was the other guy that, trying to attack Mike Golic. You weren't going after any of those other cats. And then Seth Joyner and all that.
How didn't Buddy Ryan win a championship with all that on defense?
Mike, you'd have games.
Deuce can answer that one. Huh?
You'd have games 13-9 and all kind of stuff, and then you know, that's why, to me, you know, he was a good quarterback, but he's not like a Hall of Famer, like Randall Cunningham, remember UNLV? He was good, but he wasn't, like, going to make the Eagles special. But, no, they were total defense. And then they had Eric Allen and all that and the cornerback. But, you know, it's amazing when you look at how when you grow a fan base like the Saints now, they ain't no going back. The Houdat Nation, once you win a Super Bowl – and you're relevant. You look at the Eagles now and the expectations. Do you think they got patience going forward? No, but hell no. And look, because the Eagles have been relevant. You look like, okay, the 21st century. You look at the Patriots. Patriots fans, all of a sudden.
All they know is championships.
Yeah, yeah. We got to win. And then you look at the Chiefs. Watch Chiefs fans if they don't do anything. How quickly they go, hey, man, you know. No, it's hard. It's hard. And then you look where the Eagles are. All right. Well, the Saints. We trying to get back to where, what we want, be in the hunt. We want to be relevant. Right? So if we don't win Super Bowls, it's a bust. No, it's not. It's hard to win a Super Bowl, but you got to get in the dance.
Be in the conversation.
Yes,
right.
You got to be in the conversation. You can't be hovering around, you know, the handful of wins. You can't be year in and year out. Oh, okay, the next 2 or 3 years or 4 years, that better not be the case. We pick it in the top 10.
So
No, next year it don't matter if we pick again in the top 10. But we can't, like, the next three after that, Deuce, we can't be continuously picking in the top 10. That ain't good.
Well, I want to see some improvements.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, and you were picking number 9 this year, right?
Yeah.
So if you're picking in top 10.
But it might happen, Deuce. I don't know.
I want to see some improvement, though. That's what I'm telling you.
I got you.
I need to see some improvement, Bobby. I mean, at some point, we can preach hope.
Right, right.
We can
right.
preach patience. But you got to have some type of improvement.
Well, pray for health as well, because last year was just ridiculous.
I don't doubt that. You definitely need health. I mean,
yeah, but the Lions had injuries. The Lions almost went to the Super Bowl. Look at their defense.
The Lions had a better team.
But their defense had more depth.
The Lions had a better team. I mean,
right. That's true.
Don't kid yourself. Like they weren't a better overall team.
But they had injuries.
They had injuries as well. No, I'll give you that. But, I mean, overall, I just need to see improvement. You could talk about, you know, you're going to be a bad team. Hey, that may be true. We don't know. It's up to the players to go out and play. But you can't have some of the mistakes and things that happened last year to continue to happen this year.
Well, and I said this as we started the draft show on Thursday. Right now, we just want to cheer for a professional team, whether it be the Pelicans, whether it be the Saints, that give us something to cheer for. Come on, you can't be at the bottom of the barrel. And that's why I said this, there's nowhere to go but up. And they go, Bob, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but you want to put me back in the top 10.
No, but you got to be patient because I don't know if we can turn around. Because if you look at two decades – the reason why I say this, it hadn't been this bad in a couple of decades. That's a long time. Hoss, how old you were 20 years ago? Okay, think of two decades. How old?
You and I are close to the same age.
So you're like in your 30s or something, you know, 54. Okay.
How in the world did this become relevant?
Okay,
because I was a younger
it's
man.
It's part of his
years.
Story.
All right.
Right.
No,
you learn after a while.
Right. So wait. No, that's why there's nowhere to go up. But, I mean, we hadn't seen – it's like dark times right now, 2 decades. The Saints finish just 5-12 this past season. That's the worst record since 2005. That's a long time since Katrina.
My year.
Okay. The Pelicans didn't fare any better. They went 21-61. Now, only the 2004-2005 Hornets, which is our team at the time, were worse. They were 18-64 instead of 21-61. So the 26 combined wins by the Saints and the Pelicans tied for the worst in a season by the city sports teams, equaling the 2004 Saints, 8-8, and those 2004-05 Hornets. So I'm just saying there's nowhere to go but up.
I agree with you, Bob.
Yeah, well, we all agree on that. What happened after Katrina in 2005. Uh-huh. New head coach.
Yep, yep.
2006.
But the only thing, we had a new quarterback. I don't know about our quarterback.
No, we ain't got Drew Brees.
Yeah, well, that was the magic.
I was trying to bring some positivity.
No, the hurt shoulder. But wait, Derek Carr got a hurt shoulder. So maybe we get some, we have somebody to say a rosary, a pray over.
Maybe have him go to Miami each for a quick, visit.
Yeah.
And then come back.
The only prayers coming for Derek Carr from the Hoodats right now is a ticket out of town.
What Steve said is accurate.
That is truth. That is a little truth.
Man, he catch a lot of hate.
So what would need to happen if he's healthy?
Yeah.
What would need to happen to mend the relationship?
Win.
Before the season? That's so much that angst towards him. I don't know if winning even cures that for Derek
Carr. Yeah, no, that few of you win it.
No, you win, it cures every deal.
Bobby just told him it's been since 2005.
I've been in games where I held out. I came back in 91. We won 11-5 that year. I remember the first game against the Seahawks. I'm coming through the tunnel. They booing my ass. Boo, boo. The same people on the same play. I'm in the huddle. I'm dropping back. They booing. I threw a bomb touchdown. They going, boo, yay. And they all cheering. And
Floyd Turner.
So,
you
got to
win.
Turner.
I'm telling you, you got to win.
But
you got to win.
But that's long term. There's no game until
right.
You can't do anything ahead of time.
No,
he needs to win.
He got to weather the storm.
Because he's always, until most recently, has been a stand-up, said the right kind of thing guy.
Yes.
Right?
And that, boy, that crumbled.
I'm not saying he hadn't said anything yet.
That's what I'm saying. So what is he saying?
I think
he ain't
the fact
said
that
nothing.
He wasn't that, around
That's what
the
I'm
Super
saying. But what is he saying?
Nothing. I agree. I'm with you.
He's just hanging out in California. He ain't being homegrown.
There's no middle of the road with Derek. Right, there's no fence. You're either very much against, or you are don't understand.
I'm trying to figure out if there's a mendable
way to come back.
I don't.
Well,
know,
I mean, just
win them over.
I don't even know if it's winning over. Just allow me to go and play. Allow me to go and prove myself.
Yes, yeah. If he comes in play and he wins, he's basically a 500 quarterback in the Saints uniform, and that's better than the other cats because they ain't won nothing. Until he wins, that's the best thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with Zoe.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We got Mickey Loomis.
Listen in.
We're going to take a break and go right to the podium. Sorry, not take a break. We're going to swing it over to Saints camp on Airline Drive. Mickey Loomis, Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager at the podium, talking to us after the 2025 draft.
Hello. Des, I feel giant up here. This is pretty cool. Look, excited about the day. Excited to get the players we got. I felt like it kind of fell the way we had hoped in a lot of ways, and just excited that it's over too. So it feels like a long draft, to be honest with you. But excited about it.
You actually made all 9 picks, no trade ups. Was that a mission?
First of all, there was no trade down. There was no trade ups and no trade downs. Yeah, you're right. So that's progress, I guess, in your guys' eyes.
Was that something?
No, by the mission. Look, there was a lot of discussions. At times, we had things that I thought we were going to do going both directions, believe it or not. But either the player that the team, we thought we were going to make a deal with wasn't there for them, or, we decided that, you know, we had a better opportunity to stay where we were. So there were some deals on the table that we talked about. I felt like in general there were fewer deals this year than most. I know for us there were fewer calls. And so it'll be interesting to see when it all gets added up how many deals were done, but it just felt like there was fewer than normal.
Any chance you can tell us one of the players that was there on the board that made you stay where you were?
No. it really wasn't a matter of, a couple times it was like, hey, do we need to go up to get one of these two or three guys that we have targeted in this area? And then it looked like we were going to at least get one of them, so we stayed where we were. And then there was a couple times where we were talking about moving back because we thought that there was going to be some guys gone, and, you know, they weren't, so we didn't. And I didn't think that any of the deals were, like, really great value either, so they were fair, but it wasn't like a deal that, we can't turn this down.
Taking a quarterback in particular at 40 was especially when we saw the Giants go up and get one, I think, at 23. Yeah. Was it hard to stay patient when I assume he was probably the one guy at that position you were?
I think that we felt like that was the right value for us, and that there were some other players, if Tyler hadn't been there, there were some other players that we were going to feel really good about in that area. So I didn't think the way we talked about moving up for not just him, but there was a couple of other candidates as well. But we just felt like we'd have to give up too much in order to do that. And we were still going to get, players that could really help our football team.
What is the thought process on that decision? Obviously, you probably had heard it's the highest this franchise has taken a quarterback in like over 50 years. I mean, it doesn't happen often. And how easy is it to weigh that against other positional needs?
It's just part of the process, every year. And there have been times where we've I don't want to say targeted. That's not the right word. But we talked about taking a quarterback. Even in the first round, and it just didn't fall right for us. So some of that's, just circumstances as opposed to desire, I guess is the right way to say it. We love Tyler that, through the evaluation process, we really liked him, and he was available when we were picking. And so pulled the trigger on that.
Had that process a little, and just some of the things that made him the guy, and some of the things you really liked about him.
It's just the whole process, and it's obviously it's the tape, it's the background, the interviews. I think it's a benefit when a guy's had a lot of experience, and has a little maturity to him at that position, and. You get a player that's a little older, so in some cases, you know, that might be a detriment, but I don't think it is a quarterback. I think every person that evaluated him, every person that talked with him, every person that interviewed him, and the coaches that spent time with him really, really liked him. And I feel really good about it.
Just when you guys were discussing trading up in the first round, did that Atlanta trade kind of change the market, the trade market a little, just how much they paid to move up? Like, does that affect what you're able to do?
No, not really. I mean, when we discuss whether or not moving up, we have a pretty targeted value, and in general, we're not gonna come off that. I did feel like there was a lot of teams in the back half of the draft that were trying to move backwards, so the market was probably a little softer than maybe some other years, but ultimately we didn't do it.
You hit pretty much every position group, but where do you feel like y'all are at receiver right now?
I think that going into the draft, there were some receivers that we really liked and we hoped that we'd have the opportunity to get, and it just didn't work out. So I think that's probably the one position that going into the draft you'd like to have, But when you know you follow your board and you you take the value presented to you, and it just never really presented to us at receiver. There was a couple times when we thought we were going to get a receiver at a particular slot, and you know that guy got taken a few picks in front of us, so it just didn't work out.
How about Kelvin? What did you like about him?
Yeah, look, we thought like he's one of the top linemen. I mean, obviously Outland Award winner. We think he's versatile in terms of where he can play for us, and we just felt like, hey, we're going to get the best five linemen on the field, and love his makeup. I mean, love it. I got several texts from people after the pick that are associated with the program there, and just think he's one of the greatest teammates that they've ever had, and one of the great people they've ever had. So we're really excited to get him. Really worried that he was going to get taken in front of us, but excited that he was available. You know, it's funny. I think we had two guys from Texas and two from Louisville, right? So there's a trend there, I guess.
You told us on Wednesday something to the effect of, when you're picking that high, when you're picking that high, you want to have a player that, you know, will be there for 8 to 10 years and you can sleep at night. I mean, were you picturing Kelvin Banks when you were making that?
And there was a few others, but yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
When you talk about a guy like Tyler, you know, you mentioned a few things you liked about him, but was there one thing that really kind of stood out about his on-the-field ability? And when it comes to his experience, do you think his experience makes him the kind of guy that could compete, you know, for the job right away when he gets in here?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be a competition. You know, we like the guys we've got, and we'll see. We'll just see what happens, you know, going forward.
Going to play, that's something that you have an idea of now, or is that something that gets decided?
That's going to be a decision by our coaches, and you know, look, we've got a long time to make that. And what's comforting is that we've got, you know, people on the offensive line that are pretty versatile, and we'll let that sort itself out. We don't need to make any of those decisions right now.
How do you feel like Kellen handled himself in the draft?
Yeah, he was outstanding. He really was calm and outstanding. You know, we had really good communication between him and myself and Jeff and our coaches and scouts. It was fantastic. It really was.
He was
like a veteran as a head coach in there.
My apologies. After you talked to us the other day, Derek Hart's brother said, kind of went on NFL Network and talked about him and said that y'all had known about the injury since the day it happened. Now that the draft is over and y'all have selected a quarterback, is there anything else that you can publicly say about that?
I don't have anything else about that right now. We'll get that sorted out.
Did the uncertainty at that position increase any desire or urgency to draft one?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I said to you guys, you know, we're in the business of quarterbacks, and you know, there was an opportunity to get a guy that we valued really highly, and he was available to us, so that's what we did.
Tyler had been available. Were there other quarterbacks you liked potentially lower in the draft that you like? Were you said position groups you wanted to hit? Was quarterback one that if you hadn't got Tyler, you still would have wanted to hit?
I mean, there's guys in this draft we like. There's no question about it. And you know, if available at the time, I would say yes.
I mean, you obviously did not take one at 9. So is he the only one that you guys would liked in the top two rounds?
Yeah, I don't really want to say that. We like, there were some guys we liked, yes.
Just to clarify, were you surprised by, look, it's the biggest story in the country, by the whole Shedeur Sanders thing and how it played out?
Yeah, I was surprised he wouldn't take an earlier, yes. Yeah.
Mickey, what do you like about the linebacker that you took today?
Well, first of all, highly productive, 3-year starter, a lot of juice, you know, high character, just lots of good things. You know, he's the, you know, mainstay of a defense at Oklahoma, and I think he had, you know, almost 400 tackles in his career. They're just, I mean, what's not to like? He's big and long and fast, and he's going to fit right in with our group, and he'll I'm sure learn a lot from DeMario and Pete, and and you know, just gives us a lot of, you know, a lot of depth at in that room, and so excited to have him.
How much was Quincy Riley's versatility a factor in your decision to draft him, and what else did you really see from him?
You know, our defensive coaches talked about that, is that here's a guy that they think can play inside and outside, and another guy that was productive and played a lot of games, and probably a bit of a surprise that he was available when we took him for us, and so excited to get him as well. You know, that that was kind of the theme today, is that you know, some guys that we maybe didn't expect to be available, and they were, and so that's why there wasn't a lot of movement, I think, for us.
Devin Gale, one of those guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy. You know, I keep harping on the same thing, production, right? Production. Here's a guy that had three, you know, 1,000-yard seasons, and you know, can play third down. He can catch a ball. He can protect, so... I know our coaches are excited to put him in that room with the guys we've got.
You had a lot of guys in this draft that were captains, a lot of guys who were 3 or 4 year starters. Do you guys maybe put different emphasis on those kind of things than other teams? Because it seems like you've got a lot of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what other teams do, but I know makeup, which is what we're talking about, that's really important to us. It's really important to us. And there are... You know, things that we look for, our guys, team captains, are they, you know, have they been through some adversity and come out the other side of that? Have they, you know, are they intelligent football players? And so I think that's one of the things, you know, team captain, are they good teammates, number one, you know? So those are things that we spend a lot of time talking about. And frankly, there are guys that we rule out because it's not good enough for us in our eyes, so... Yes.
You mentioned not getting the wide receiver, but the flip side is you touched really every other position on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
You must feel good about that.
Yeah, we do. I think, yes, we do. I don't know how else to say it. You know, I just think that, you know, when you look at our roster, you know, we've got a lot of good players at in a lot of different rooms, and yet there are, you know, there's depth that you want to gain. There's guys that you want to put in a room where maybe you've got an older player, and so you're looking forward to, hey, 2 years from now or 3 years from now, this guy can step into, you know, a starter's role, if not sooner. And so, yeah, those, you know, fall to each of those positions. You know, we've you know, we're down two corners from last year. You know, the trade with Marshawn, and then Paulson going to, you know, another team. So, you know, you want to add to that room.
Do you get the sense that this staff puts an emphasis on versatility, maybe if not more than other staffs you've worked with, or just how do you see them value versatility in general?
I think our staffs in the past valued versatility, but you know, the structure of the defense is just different, and it's like I said in the press conference the other day, it's nuanced, but it's a little different, and so I think there is a little more, at least defensively, we're still trying to, you know, as personnel department, we're still trying to understand exactly what our coaches want, but versatility is something that we've talked about a lot.
You know, one of your defensive selections of how maybe it fits that new vision, or?
Well, you know, Quincy, right, you know, Riley, you know, we talked about he can play inside and outside, and that gives us some versatility because we've got some other guys, you know, Alante Taylor that has played inside and outside, and so, you know, that's just one example.
The needs are everywhere, obviously, but the two positions you hit in round three, defensive tackle and safety, are two that you had already addressed in free agency and have some depth there. Does that just say a lot to, I mean, those were player-grade choices and not necessarily plugging immediate?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were holes, but I would say, man, those were rooms that we wanted to put more people into. But yeah, yes, absolutely. The grades were a factor in terms of who we took at those spots. I mean, Vernon Broughton was a discussion about the second round. You know, in the past few days, prior to, you know, the draft. We talked about, hey, this is a guy that's probably going to be a second round pick. And so, you know, when we get him in the third round, obviously we feel really good about it.
I think, again, you know,
just this is part of the structure of the defense. You know, it's changing. And also, look, we have a coach in the building that's been with him. So we feel like we got a little inside information. And Bo and Brandon and Jay and our defensive staff, you know, can look at this player and say he exactly fits what we're looking for in that position, that defensive end position. So.
Does wide receiver become a priority with undrafted free agents?
I mean, we're gonna sign a few, yes. So if that, yeah, I would say yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Become a little bigger.
Yeah, so we will. Yeah, we'll have some guys targeted in the undrafted free agent pool, and hopefully hit on one. We've had some success in the past at that, and hopefully we will again.
That there'd be a quarterback competition. Does that include Derek if he's healthy?
Yeah, I mean, Derek's a starter if he's healthy, so.
You said earlier, in regards to Chuck, that, you know, you liked his experience and age and things like that. Is there, when you're looking at that position specifically, is there any pause or negatives for an older rookie, or does it really...
I think it depends on who you are. You know, I think some people look at that differently than others. You know, some of the people look at the younger guys and there's a bigger growth opportunity, and there's some truth to that. And others I think playing the position is like super difficult in our league. And what is going to happen? You're going to have some failure. You're going to have some adversity. You're going to get a lot of blame. And so if you've been through some of those kinds of things in your past, then it's easier to handle. If you haven't, then it becomes more difficult. So there's an experience factor, a wisdom factor that comes with just going through it. And so, a guy that's, you know, last year was Bo Nix. He had 60 starts, right? So he had been through a lot. And Tyler's been through a lot, including a lot of injury adversity. So I think that can be a real asset and a real value.
It's easier to get past the injuries when they're like bone breaks and they're not, they're not like a, you know, something maybe has more long term.
So what was the question?
It's easier to get past like some of the season ending injuries with him, but since they were like kind of bone breaks and maybe not like the longer term rehab.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd phrase it that way, but look, there's a broken leg, right? So that's going to heal and you know, there's not really a greater risk of that recurring, the shoulder and collarbone, I think, you know, so that's different maybe than a knee or, you know, a labrum tear or something. You know, there's things that, you know, you have some ongoing concerns about, and then there's other injuries that you have lesser concern about, so.
What stands out to you about Tyler on the field? What's the elite?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's decision-making, you can make all the throws. You know, you guys will get to, you heard it from Kellen the other day. He talked about, you know, the things that he really liked about him. So we all like the same thing.
Not always.
Something Kellen also mentioned about is just the way he handled adversity. What stuck out to you about the way that Tyler handled adversity throughout his life?
Yeah, I think, you know, we had a really good visit with him and talked about, you know, starting it, you know, at Oregon and why that, you know, ended up not working out and going to Texas Tech and then going through the injury stuff and then ending up at Louisville and things that he had to do to, you know, in a short period of time to be the leader of that team and perform really well. And it's just, again, it's just all these experiences and how he's handled them and how that, you know, he talked about how that affected himself and how he felt like that benefited his growth as a quarterback, and it was impressive.
Yeah, the transfer part of that is interesting. Do you guys always have to do due diligence when players are transferring this many times now, kind of this area?
Yeah, listen, I think the job that our scouts have to do is tougher now because sometimes, especially when it's over a 6-year period or a 5-year period, you know. You know, you go back and you talk to, you know, a lot of the people they've been with at these other places, and so you can understand, you know, what happened, what the growth opportunity was, and and how that, you know, any player, not just Tyler, any player who's changed schools has matured. And man, more and more of these guys have gone to multiple schools. You know, we've got a number of these draft picks have done the same thing. So
when you have that volume of information, does it make it easier or harder to sift through?
I think, look, we're in the business of gathering a lot of information and looking for, you know, what I call red flags or green flags, you know, things that concern you and things that you know, enhance your opinion. So more information is better.
What would you say that you most achieved with this draft class?
Oh, man, I don't know yet. Ask me in 3 years.
But did you, you know, do you feel like it's about building depth or finding foundational pieces? Like, what's kind of
the goal? There's some of both of that there. I mean, I think there's a lot of guys here that have opportunity to be, you know, starting contributors for us and good players for hopefully a long time. But, you know, that it's up to them and it's up to us to help them grow into that and give them the opportunity. But, pretty pleased with the group right now.
And how important was it to have, like, kind of, I guess specifically with Kelvin, like, that foundation for Kellen's first draft, like a cornerstone?
Well, I think I don't know. You know, it's a good question, but I think we both believe you build, you know, from the inside out in offense line, defensive line, and here's an opportunity to you know, enhance the offensive line again. We did that last year, and man, we feel like we've got the elements of a top flight offensive line. And how long that takes to develop, you know, we'll see. But you know, one of the things that I think Kellen talked about when he was hired was alignment, right? Being aligned, and I felt like in this draft we had really good alignment, and that's part of it.
Just if he plays left tackle, and like I said, you guys, I know it's not decided yet, but
excuse me. And you're only going to be bring it on. So. I apologize.
If it does move over Huaga to right, how do you think that impacts kind of his development? Like, was there still value of seeing him playing left all of last year? Or?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, we're right back to, you know, versatility, right? I mean, Tally played right tackle his whole college career and moved over to left, didn't bat an eye, and I thought played really well for, you know, rookie left tackle, and he was fantastic. And so we'll let that all sort out. I'm not concerned about that. It'll sort itself out. We've got a lot of time. Last one.
And again, it's theoretical, but we might not talk to you about it for a long time. But when you guys have evaluated Trevor Penning over the years, I know we've talked a lot about don't really see him as a guard or whatever, but if, you know, that's his best chance to get on the field, does he have traits that you guys have ever seen in him?
He has great traits, and I thought he made a lot of progress at tackle last year. So, again, you know, we're just going to let all these things sort out. I don't know the answer to that yet because we'll talk about that. But, you know, obviously we did talk about, you know, how do we envision this? But ultimately it was like, okay, we're going to get the five best linemen on the field and we'll see how that sorts out. And I don't want to get pinned down to we're going to do this or we're going to do that because I don't know how it's going to turn out yet. And I don't think our coaches do either, although they do have vision for each of those players. All right. Thank you, guys.
Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis addressing the media after all seven rounds of the 2025 NFL Draft is a wrap. You heard him talking about the draft picks and, well, still no information on Derek Carr front, and no surprise right there, I think.
No, we may not find that. That might be maybe post June 1st or something, maybe something going down with that. Now, it's interesting, you know, the receiver. I'm still concerned with a big receiver, you know, going forward. You know, a quarterback, he didn't want to talk about that with Derek Carr. But I tell you what, I think overall they addressed a lot of different positions. The receiver's one of them. But I think it's going to be a good draft when all said and done. What does that mean? I don't know. You got to wait and see.
You know how you're going to grade this draft?
2 years.
Your left tackle and your quarterback. if you grab the right guy to be your starting left tackle and your starting quarterback, draft success.
Well, and here's my take on that as well. It would be kind of premature after this year. I want to see in 2 years,
yep,
not necessarily who's all pro or who's
right, right.
Who made the Pro Bowl, but how much are they participating?
Yep. Are they a starter?
Well, not
like
necessarily.
Like Fuaga or something?
Well, yeah. Well, starter, that means immediately. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Fuaga, we know he's a starter. He's
right.
Got a chance to be a Pro Bowl or all pro. But here's the thing for me. Is this guy having a redshirt year in 2 years? Is he still on redshirt year? Or
that ain't
he,
good.
Well, but that's yeah. what I'm saying. That's what he's giving me a little play time, so I know that, hey, this guy has a chance to be able to contribute for you.
Stick around. We'll come back and wrap things up right here on the TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage at Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard. Stay tuned on WWL. All right, we're back here on our TrainSouth.com Draft Fest coverage here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard as we close things out, getting a final read on the Saints 2025 draft class. I'm looking at the picks for you. Offensive tackle Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas going number 9 overall in the first round. Then in the second, Tyler Shuck, Louisville quarterback, going to the black and gold at the 8th selection in the second round. Vernon Broughton, Texas defensive tackle, one of their third round selections. The other one, Jonas Sanker, the safety out of Virginia in the fourth round. Two more picks for the black and gold. Danny Stutzman, linebacker out of Oklahoma. Also, Louisville corner Quincy Riley. In the sixth round, it was running back Devin Neal out of Kansas. Also, UCLA tight end Malachi Montevallo in the seventh round for the black and gold. And the final pick for the Saints was Fidel Diggs, edge out of Syracuse. Wrapping up all 9 selections for the Saints. I don't think anybody saw this team taking all those picks when we first started things, Jens.
But they needed every pick because
right.
you needed help at every position. The one thing we're going to get calls about, and I know it, no receiver.
Yep.
Yeah. No big receiver.
Big receiver. Mickey got asked
yeah,
that
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can't draft everybody. No big receiver. And you know what's also intriguing? Because, you know, we had to get young. Honey Badger's getting old. We got one safety. Sanker. It'll be interesting to see Jonas Sanker, the safety out of Virginia, Mike. And his contribution.
To me, Stutzman, because Demario Davis.
Yeah, yeah, Stutzman.
He can't play forever. Either.
Right, right. I like today what we did. Quincy Riley, the cornerback. I would not be surprised if he's not the slot corner that we're counting on. You know how we did? Ugo. Remember Ugo? We put him there. He could play safety, play the slot. Well, I think Quincy Riley, hopefully he could beat him out. It's good to have depth with Ugo. But Quincy Riley, I could see him playing defensive slot. And Danny Stutzman definitely contributing on the inside. And B, I'm not saying he's the second coming of Demario Davis. I think right now, I'm going to say he's going to be better than Pete Werner. Now Pete Werner's been steady, had a few injuries. But over the next 4 or 5 years, I'm just saying right now, I think Stutzman will be better than Pete Werner. I don't know if that means Pro Bowl or whatever. But I think he's a thumper, and we got to stop the run, and he's coming downhill. So I like those picks, what we did today.
I like the Devin Neal pick because he gives you an option as a number 2 back that you really don't have today. You might say, well, I got something in Kendra Miller. What, you ain't
we
seen enough
know.
Of him to make that comment. I don't know about Clyde Edwards-Helaire,
yep.
how that's going to work out. One thing I've seen enough of Devin Neal, he can play at the NFL level, and I think he can give you some spot time because you can't keep feeding Alvin the football all the time.
Right,
you're going
right.
to wear him out.
Right.
And so I like that pick late in Devin Neal, that running back from Kansas.
Yeah, and so, Mike, here's the other thing with Devin Neal. I don't need you to be able to go 40 yards, 50 yards
yeah.
every carry.
Just what you said, if it's 32, can you get a first down?
Can you give me 2 yards? That's what I need.
Move
I need
the chains.
I need 2.5, 3 yards from you. And if I can turn around and give the football to you 7, 10, 11 times a game, I feel pretty comfortable that, you know, hey, we're either winning, we're controlling the clock, and then you're moving the ball where my defense isn't having to come out there on the field. And so it's got to be important for this team to be able to convert short yardage. If they want to be a physical, you know, I don't know if we've heard the coaches talk about the identity of this team, but I don't know if we truly know.
We don't know it.
Yeah, what the identity of this team will be.
Yeah, and you know what? I guess we all could be part of the scouting department if you pay close attention to this. Do you notice it's going to be like this next year also?
this goes a long way on your resume. Whatever school you play for, am I a team captain?
Are you a captain?
We love team captains.
Does my teammate do my teammates respect me enough
to be the team captain?
To vote me as a
yes.
team captain.
It seems like no matter what the position, all these different players, they all on their resume, they all got team captain.
Here's the best part.
That goes a long way with the Saints.
The last pick in the draft, he was a team captain at A&M and Syracuse.
See that?
So he double dipped you on that.
So that means he has social skills. Because you got to talk to I got social skills. I'm telling you what, I played on a lot of different teams as quarterback. You got about to relate to a lot of different personalities.
Well,
you got to communicate with them.
Well, you got to communicate, but then you got to lead.
I've
got to be a guy that can lead.
Yes.
I can't just be the guy that, hey, I'm gonna be, not necessarily being shy is bad,
right?
But I'm going to be a leader of men. And if I can do that, then I put myself in a pretty good position. And so it looks like that's what they've done with a lot of these draft picks.
And then you're good for the locker room. If you're a team captain, you can't be a slap, in the locker room. I mean, you got to lead guys, and the Saints, that's a good thing. That's a good quality to have no matter what the position. And then it's not always the quarterback. I think there's a quarterback's leader. No. You might be on the back end. Brett Maxey was a good leader when I played. You know, like on the secondary. Gene Atkins would have never been a good leader. You have to look at whether you're on the D-line, the linebacker room, running back room, receivers, wherever you are. Okay, who's the leader? Right now, I don't even know. I'm just speculating. Chris Olave, I don't know. To me, he don't say too much. Who's the alpha in that wide receiver meeting room right now?
Brandon Cooks.
What? Brandon Cooks?
He is now.
But he wasn't even on the team.
That's what I'm saying. How are you going to call him alpha? I haven't even been in locker room.
Yeah.
I just know the guy from the past experience of his personality and what I've heard from coaches and even the voice of the Dallas Cowboys about how much of a leader he's been.
He ain't been there.
I hear you, right.
But when you think of...
So from a player like Bobby's and I don't know you.
Yeah, Chris Olave and Rashica, he did don't know no Brandon Cooks.
You've got to earn that as far as.
Sure, I just figure it's a lot easier maybe with a whole new regime coming in.
No, player to player.
No.
Exactly. It's like all the receivers be hanging out and all that.
Fact is, though, I don't feel like that wide receiver room does have that alpha.
That's what we're saying.
We don't
have that right now.
So that's going to be something that's developed.
Yeah.
That's going to be something that
you've got
to earn.
Right, I'm not just anointing him. It just seems like he would be that guy.
Yeah,
it possibly may be.
And you know, we had him on when we did the first time the draft show. You know, I think on the offensive line is that leader and wants to be that leader.
It's
McCoy. McCoy.
It's not even a question there. Here's the conversation. I'll tell you the conversation. Bobby, you may tell me. The conversation will go like this. Whether it's DeMario, whether it's Cam, whether it's Tyron, you'll basically go, when you figure out that quarterback situation, but let's say you don't have that right now. Today.
Right.
Yeah. So right now at the OTAs, it's basically Alvin.
Yes.
It's basically Eric. And if it's going to be Brandon, but somebody from that receiver room and then somebody from that tight end room has to say, from an offensive standpoint, I got this group.
Like Foster whatever.
Foster. And Foster was that guy, but he's hurt right now. So he can still say, I got this group. But Bobby will tell you, so when I'm talking to that defensive guys, hey, you get your guys in order.
I mean,
because, hey, you're giving up too many yards. You need to get the ball back. He had the conversation with Ricky. And the conversation came from Bobby. I got my guys.
So
I'm going to go tell my guys.
Yes.
Those receivers, those running back, those O-line. Hey, it's a certain level of
accountability
that we got to have. I don't care what you do outside that building.
Yeah.
But when you come in here and you don't know what you're doing,
this is what's expected of you.
You got to get out the huddle because guess what you're doing? Not only are you costing us a game, you're costing me money.
You're touching my money.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, you know he would know about that.
Players talk about that all the time. You're touching my money.
We may not can connect on the food you eat
or
what clothes you wear, but now you're messing with my money.
Yeah.
Hey, we can connect real quick now.
No, but I'll call it out no names. I can tell you right now, we're playing at 12 noon. and I'm counting on you to get open when they blitzing. I don't need you playing cards till 5 a.m. on Sunday morning to kick off. Listen, I'll play cards with you after the game. You got to get – and then you getting jammed on the line, I'm going to chew your ass out.
Hey, Steve.
I mean, you touching my money.
I saw it already.
You can do this film. Yeah, you can do what you want to do on your own time.
Yeah.
But – when you start messing with money, we got a problem.
No, because we got to be a pro. No, you got to be a pro. Come on. That's a lot of time. That's the right leaders. And who are those leaders? Right now, to me, the number one alpha dog, because he has a lot of skins in the wall on offense, is Alvin Kamara.
Correct.
Is Alvin Kamara, then I would say McCoy. Other than that, come on, offense. No, Cam Jordan, we got some defense at DeMario. Yeah, I'm all right on defense.
Yeah, defense, but all right, offense. But offense no, and here's the thing.
Offense.
I don't want to say it's a tough situation, but it's one that has to be had.
Yeah.
It's a conversation that has to be had. Because if you don't have that conversation, then it's going to continue to happen.
Yeah, to me, when you were talking about, I thought it was just the wide receiver room you're looking at for someone to take charge.
Well, no, you've got to have that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because they meet as a group.
Yeah.
But you
so
meet
it's
as
individual
yeah,
group.
Individual
and then
groups.
You break off. You have the offensive meeting, and then you go, the receiver's here, running back, O-line, then you break off. But
correct.
Yeah.
And so somebody's got to have that accountability for that room.
Yeah.
I mean, and so if you don't have the accountability for the room, then who's standing up for the room?
No, and then everybody just worries about themselves, and then no one plays together.
And we picking top 10 like Bobby said.
Yeah, and then they don't care. I'm telling you, then everybody's selfish and nobody cares.
That's true.
And let's just hope that, and this is a other than football conversation, that LSU's baseball game ends before 1:30 in the morning. But what a way to end it last night. With Bear. Jared Jones.
Bear Jones, man.
Man, popping it out the park and beating Tennessee.
Because I was driving home. I said, okay, I'm not sitting in my truck. It was 1-0. They came back and won.
Came back and won. 1:30, Jared Jones pops a home run and basically clears the bases. And they were behind and come back.
No, it was 1-0 when I was listening.
And, Jared, man, you talk about a dude that can swing a bat. I would have never give him a pitch to hit.
So because we have LSU baseball. When are they playing again tonight?
Right now we're on top of the first, 0-0. So the game has just started. When we get out of here, our draft coverage, we can check out the game.
Yeah, check out the game. After my alumni, Northwestern, the Demons, 10-run rule the LSU not too long ago. That 13-3. That was, I was
how about
like,
that might be the biggest victory in Northwestern State history in athletics.
So I was telling Mike this that Northwestern beat Iowa in March Madness. And Steve Alford is the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. But since it was LSU and they were ranked number one, to 10-run rule them, that's the biggest win in Northwestern sports history. It's unbelievable.
That is a wrap on the NFL Draft, folks. Join us tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., a Saints Draft recap show with me, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. For all the latest on the black and gold, check out Saints Radio, WWL, and WWL.com. For Mike Hawes, Mike Dettillier, Deuce McAllister, and I'm Steve Geller, the Cajun Cannon. Send us out. Say goodnight to the Hoodats out there.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hoodat, go Saints!
Hoodat.